Thank you for tuning in to the Radio Bible Course. We're studying the Gospel of John, and we're continuing today with John chapter 12, verse 35, where Jesus exhorts the people to respond to the light given to them. He leaves no doubt that He is that light. And we come to verse 35, where Jesus tells them, "The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Earlier in Jerusalem, Jesus talked about the light, and he said this in John chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." How is Jesus the light? Well, he has come with the truth of God, and when you know the truth of God, you have light. You know where you are going, and you know the difference between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and error, and darkness and light. So Jesus came to be the light and to tell us about the Father's truth. There's no doubt that Jesus, here in the Gospel of John, is referring to himself as the light. And as he was about to put the mud on the blind man's eyes in John chapter 9, he said this, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now please notice the wording in verse 36. We might have expected it to read, "While you have light, walk in it." Instead, he urges belief, which emphasizes more than the truth which he brought to the world, but he's also reminding people that they need to believe in this person. Who is the light? Hey, there are many people who give honor to the Bible, and they treat it with great respect. This is the Word of God. This is Holy Scripture. But often they don't talk enough about the person. Believe in the light. Don't simply walk in the light. The Word of God was not brought by Jesus only so that men would know how to live better. Jesus is the Word of God. He came to save us, not to just be an example of how we ought to live. And to get that salvation, one needs to believe in Him. Trust in Him exclusively. Believe means also to depend upon Him, and on nothing else, and on no one else. So the person here is the focus of Jesus' statement. The result of faith, he said, in verse 36, would enable them to become what? To become sons of light. So we have something interesting here in the grammar. Jesus changes the tense of the verb. After telling them to believe, which is in the present tense, he then uses the aorist tense, or what you might call the past tense, regarding becoming sons of light. Now the aorist tense suggests a once-for-all event in becoming sons, once for all time. There's a point in time when men become sons of light. You keep on believing. The present tense carries that idea of continuous action, but here the aorist says, back there at a point in time, when you believed, you became. What's this tell us? It tells us that you don't gradually become a Christian. I once did talk to a person, and he said, "I'm not a Christian yet, but I'm becoming one." Well, I can just see this prolonged birth. Friends, it doesn't happen that way. Babies are born. They come into this world at an event. It doesn't take weeks or months for a baby to be born. No one listening to me on radio today is being born. Nor are you still being saved in the sense of getting eternal life, because the Bible tells us, and this Greek tense conveys it, that one does not become a son of light in stages. Said in another way, there are no half-Christians in the world. You either are or you are not. One does not develop into a child of God or experience birth by degrees. If a person has eternal life, he received it at a point in time. And this might help you. The word believe is in the present tense. We are to do that continually. But become is in the aorist tense, an action that has a point in past time. Now the fact that he did this has meaning. When Jesus said this, he changed the tense of the verb, and I think it has doctrinal significance, of course. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 24, and it's related, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has," not is going to begin having, "has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." He didn't say is passing from death into life. He has passed. There is a point in time when a person believes and when he gets eternal life and when he is born again or born from above. That's a person's spiritual rebirth. And everybody, Jesus said in John chapter 3, must have that kind of a birth. There is a point in time when that happens and when you actually pass from death into eternal life. We don't usually speak to one another in these terms. You might say, "Well, I became a Christian," or "when I believed in Christ," or "when I received eternal life." I suppose sometime we ought to say, "I passed from death into life back in 1938, or whenever it was." But people aren't going to explain that kind of an expression. So we ought to go right to the verse such as John 5:24 and explain it. And then you'll realize you are preaching the gospel which Jesus himself preached. Now the meaning of the expression, son of light, is that one does not merely honor the light, but commits himself for it or to it. That ought to be the case when we believe. When we decide that Jesus is the Messiah sent by God, that he's the light of the world, that I believe in him and I'm going to follow him, I'm going to embrace everything he stands for henceforth. That's the idea brought forth here by being a son of light. We are told that Jesus hid himself from the crowd, and the author John makes an observation in verse 37 and then explains how Isaiah foretold this unbelief on the part of Israel, and he traces their unbelief to prophecy. Verse 37, "Though he had done so many signs before them, yet they did not believe in him. It was that the word spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled." Quote, "Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed?" Unquote. This expression, arm of the Lord, refers to his saving power. And verse 39 says, "Therefore they could not believe, for Isaiah again said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and turn to me to heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him. As I said, John traces the unbelief of the Jews to these prophecies in the book of Isaiah, and the first one he quotes is Isaiah 53, verse 1. That's that famous chapter about the Messiah who came to suffer. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That comes later in Isaiah 53, but it begins like this: "Who has believed our report?" In other words, this is an astonishing declaration. The prophet Isaiah had come with the word of God to the people of God, but nobody wanted to believe him. And so he asked that question, dismayed: "Who has believed our report?" The answer is practically nobody. And yet, consider this: Isaiah was God's messenger. This, by the way, happened 700 years before Christ, when Isaiah wrote this and spoke of the coming Christ and his ministry. Now, throughout the Old Testament, the Jews rejected the messages from God and even killed some of their messengers sent by God. Jesus told them on one occasion that their fathers had shed the blood of the prophets, and so would their present generation. And then he prophesied their future in Matthew chapter 23, which is the chapter almost entirely concerned with the rebuke of the Pharisees. He said, Matthew 25, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, killing the prophets and stoning those who are sent to you, how often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wing, and you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate, for I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now this happened. It's not recorded in the Gospel of John in these words, it's in Matthew, but it happened just before his crucifixion. He said, You will not see me again until you say, Blessed is he who is coming in the name of the Lord. God has not forgotten his people. Their house is desolate. They seem to be forsaken. Judaism is empty. It has nothing to offer anybody. There's no comfort in Judaism today either. People follow some of the old practices and some of the old traditions, but they don't follow the word of God literally anymore. They've been described as a hopeless people. They don't know why they're practicing their religion anymore, except that it's history. They're not like us who believe in Christ, who are looking for the coming of the Savior. They have rejected him. And over the years, all that God has said, they have rejected. But Israel does have a future. God has plans for Israel, but not until Jesus returns to rule. And then they will welcome him, as this passage declares. John tells us in verse 41 that Isaiah was given an insight into the coming of Jesus Christ, and there is here a confirmation of Jesus as God. Let me read it again. Isaiah said this because he saw his glory and spoke of him. We don't have time to explain this fully today, but we'll do it Monday. As we travel around the world, we see many kinds of people, but from God's point of view, there are only two kinds. According to John chapter 3, verse 18, he who believes on him is not condemned, and he who believes not is condemned already. And why is that? Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So in every assembly of people, whether in a stadium or on a busy street, God sees only two kinds, believers and unbelievers. The believers have life. The unbelievers will reap the wrath of God. The apostles preach good news that Jesus took the wrath of God for us, and we can escape it by believing in him. If this is new to you, our free booklet called Heaven's Password will explain it. It's free. Until next week, this is Nick Calavoda reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.